What's up, everybody? It is Friday, March 1st. We made it to March, and we have an MVP on the show. Here's a little taste of what's coming up.
You know, it ended up working out where they called me and were like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to do it again.
Yeah.
The first practice you showed up to, and you kind of like look around the locker room. These are some of like, the best players in baseball. And like, then there's me, you know? You know, you got Buster Posey and Goldie and like all these guys and on the team, you know, Nolan Arenado. But I was like, damn, like, you know, these guys are all pretty good players. And then we kicked off that first game against Columbia in Miami. And I was like, holy shit, like this is this is pretty intense. And I'm in love.
Coming in hot, a little shake, rattle, and roll time, Chichi. What's going on, brother? This is going to be a good one, man. I'm fired up for today.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And the first thing I'm going to have to say to this guy is thank you for supplementing my income over the past few years, because all I do is draft him in fantasy football and my entire backyard furniture.
Fantasy baseball, not football.
Baseball, yeah, baseball. My entire backyard is furnished by Christian Yelich, either in a 1-2-3 draft spot. So,
let's go. Let's go. Listen, hey, listen. Well, you just announced him. MVP, two-time All-Star. So many accolades. We're probably not going to be able to announce them all. Two-time batting champion. That's tough to do, Chinch. If you've ever played in the big leagues, get two batting titles. It's tough. Gold Glove, three-time Silver Slugger. And I love this one. And I can't – Hank Aaron Award, which is incredible. But this one I want to ask him about, you know, down the road is WBC title in that big run that we all loved back in the day. So let's bring him in. Christian Yelich into the mayor's office. What's up, Yelly?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Dude, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate you taking some time out of spring training. I know that's, you know, a little thing going on. How's spring going so far, man?
It's been good. You know, just the usual beginning of camp and just getting your feet wet, easing back into it. Just getting your work in, getting used to being in spikes again and just like the daily baseball activities. But no complaints here.
Well, dude, is it the same? I always remember, like, in the offseason, you know, you got the personal trainer. You couldn't be more fit, right? You got the personal trainer. You're running sprints. You're doing all that stuff. Then you get to spring training. You're like, the second day, you're like, why is my back locked up? Like, why are my legs so heavy? Like, I should have just gone and stood at a mall for, like, 8 hours, you know, to get rid. You feel the same way with spring training, too?
Yeah, we always say that. It's like, you know, you train all off season, and then the only way you can really prepare for like spring training, everyone says, is if you took your spikes and stood in your front yard for 6 hours and watched traffic. It's really what it is. You know, you got to get your feet back under you, your legs, everything. It's like a different kind of, and then after a few weeks, you're good to go again. But every year, you're just like, man, you're in the cold tub grinding, but
yeah,
just part of it.
Yeah, you're like, how can I get the cold time down to 48? That brings my legs back. It is so true, dude. Like, I used to hate that. I'm like, I come into spring training in the best shape ever. Next thing you know, I can't walk. Having leg cramps on the way home driving. I'm like, all the standing around, the BPs, you know, doing the PFPs. And, you know, for you guys as outfielders, you know, if you're ever doing the running or you're shagging, I'm sure you don't do that this time of your career. But you know, all that stuff, spring training is like just a different beast.
Yeah, it's just different, but it comes back quick and you kind of know what to expect now, or it's like, it's nothing's a surprise as far as like what you're going to feel in spring training. Yeah. So you just know when you're going to have to work through things, how your body's going to feel at different times. And then really you just, in my mind, everything you do is just like geared towards being ready for opening day and to take on the 162 in the 6 months and everything that holds.
That's so true, dude. I remember when I was with the Tigers, and this was like my 10th year in the big league. So like I was where you were. I was like, listen, I honestly felt like if you gave me 40 at bats, 35 at bats, like I'm good. And I remember Leland comes up and he's like, hey, Case. I remember like the first couple weeks, Yelly, I'm like, I'm going on every road trip. I'm like, I'm starting the first game, like 3 at bats. And I remember saying to Leland something like, I cut him off one day. He's crushing a heater on his way out. I'm like, hey, Skip. I'm like, hey, I'm like, hey, listen, I don't really want to grind at spring training. Like, I know the season's coming up. He goes, I'll tell you what, Case. He goes, I've done the math over the years. you guys need 70 at bats. 70 at bats is the number. And I was like, 70 at bats. So what's the number of bats that you figured out works for you to get ready?
I really think it's different every year. Like, I've had some springs where it takes you a few. It's like whatever you're trying to feel, right? Like, you know when you're ready. Like, you have that at bat, or you have that game in spring training when you're like, okay, I'm ready. And sometimes, right, I've had that be the second game of spring training, and I've had that be the third week, you know, also, right, where you're like, okay, now we're good. Or some spring trainings, you're like, you leave it and you're like, I don't know. And
I'm not ready.
We'll see how the season goes. Yeah, you're like, I don't know how it goes. And then it ends up working out once the season gets rolling. But it's kind of crazy how, like, you know, your swing, your timing, like, all that stuff kind of comes when it comes as far as, you know, being ready. So I've kind of just stopped panicking, really, because I think everybody wants to feel it so quick, right? Like, everybody's searching, but you kind of have to have a process when you're looking for it. Like, you don't really want to feel it right away. Like, you want to work on little things leading up to it. Like, for me, it's just early is just timing. Like, can I be on time? Like, am I seeing the pitches? And, like, if that's cool at the beginning of camp now, then you're like, all right, I've got something. I've got a base to work with. And then you start from there. And then you start caring about, like, the results, where the balls are going, like, the kind of swings, and you kind of lead into it. Early in my career, I was like, you know, you want to see the ball in the gap flying the right way. Like, sometimes that happens, but sometimes it's mangled. Yeah, sometimes it's mangled at the beginning. You kind of have to take what you learn from those and be like, all right, we got to calibrate this a little bit. But it's always nice. It's way better when it comes after two games than like 3 weeks, you know, because then you got the cages after the game or before the game, and you're grinding, and then, you know, and then you have to deal with what happens with that.
You know, it's so funny, dude. No one realizes it's so funny. You're bringing me back. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to get that stress that I know you guys have. It just sits on you all year, like, because you got to get ready to perform. But I remember those feelings of like, oh, man, just a terrible. I remember Eric Milton one time threw me like a inside heater. I just got so blown up. I almost think I broke my thumb at spring training. I remember going into the cages for, I swear to God, I was in there for 2 hours. I'm like, I was like, something's not right here, dude. I got an inside heater on the plate. I just blew my thumb up. And I remember those nights of just trying to hit, like, oh man, I gotta get this thing right. Like, what do you feel like for you, like, feels wise, like, at this stage of your career, like, what are the feels that you're looking for? So when you leave spring training, like, okay, I got that, whether it's your, you know, whether it's your foot, you know, your toe tap or your timing or your hands, or, like, what are the things that you're working on in the cages?
I think really just, I want to get into like a loaded position, like, on time and feel like I'm in control of it. You know, where I can go, I can start, and I can kind of hold that, and it's on my terms, not really on the pitch. Like, sometimes if you kind of feel unstable on your backside, or you feel like you're moving too much, like going into it, out of it, I don't really like that. So, like, really my whole goal is to be controlled now of, like, all right, can I start on time? Can I be in a good position on time and have it be, like, on my terms? You know, obviously the pitch dictates what we do, but – you know, when you're like loaded and you feel stable, as opposed to like you're just kind of loaded and you're along for the ride after it starts, like that's a bad feeling. So, yeah, all my work and then everything kind of in the game is just really about like timing first and then kind of just feeling out where the barrel is and where the swing is once you get those live reps really in the games, and then taking the feedback from that and kind of just tweaking everything and hopefully getting it ready to go.
Yeah. There's so many, like, I obviously with, you know, social media and YouTube now, there's so many, like, experts on hitting, you know, and sometimes I almost feel like when we talk to the players or you talk to coaches, they're like, no, he does it in the big leagues, so we're not going to talk to him. We're going to talk to this guy over here, you know, on YouTube or something like that. For you as a hitter, you know, talking about hands, because I was one of the things I used to think about was, I feel like big leaguers are elite because they have great eye-hand coordination. And, you know, do you think about your hands, or are they kind of along for the ride? Like, you know, how's that part of your swing?
Mine are kind of along for the ride. Like, I don't even think about moving them. Like, I feel like they'll kind of just move on their own. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of opinions on hitting today, right? Some are right, some are wrong.
Right.
You know, even when you talk about hitting, but it changes for people, like over the, like your thoughts and your moves and like what you're trying to accomplish as a player, it kind of always changes. So there's no like concrete, like this is what needs to happen. Like the only thing that I feel is like an absolute in hitting, like the only thing that truly you have to do is timing, or you have to be on time.
Right.
If you're not on time, nothing else in hitting matters.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Everything after that, it doesn't matter. So the only thing that I feel like truly matters in hitting is timing. I was actually talking to Laner, Jason Lane today about it, like at stretch. And I was like, look, dude, like I've kind of fallen in the trap over the years of like, well, I want everything to be perfect. Like this needs to be here. Like I kind of want to feel like that. And it can mess with you a little bit if it like doesn't happen. And kind of the more I played and really like towards the end of last year and really into this offseason, I kind of like sat back and thought about it and was like, looked at when I was really good, you know, in the MVP years and like stuff like that. And it's like, well, what really matters is like timing, right? So like, there's so many things about hitting now, like you have to build a swing, like you have to build a confident swing. But I was talking to him, I was like, look, everybody's stretching on this line right now. Like you're in major league spring training. Like you probably have the physical tools and gifts to like succeed here. Like you made it here. So you're swinging everything that comes after it. Probably good enough, right? But everyone, we talk so much in hitting about like mechanics and feels and this needs to be in this position and you need to do this. But what doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion, is timing. And like, what is like on time mean? Like people can say you're late, you're on time, but what does that actually mean to be on time? It's never really explained in hitting, and we never talk about timing. It's always mechanics first, but mechanics are kind of a byproduct of hitting in my mind. Like if you're late, your body knows, your brain knows you're late. So like bad mechanical things or breakdowns are going to happen. So like, you'd be like, well, my hip's flying or this, I'm coming over the top of it, but it's like, why? So maybe it's because you're late. So I think you got to go back and talk about timing a lot. And for me, that's why it's such a big focus for me now. And just trying to get in a good loaded position on time. And then I feel like everything kind of goes after that. Like your pitch recognition is going to be good. Like you can work, like you can do anything in the box, but if you get to a loaded position on time, you can hit. You could turn around and face the backstop, but if you had enough time to turn around and look at the pitcher, like you could theoretically do that. Yeah. Right. But
yeah,
you know, then you can fall in the trap of mechanics sometimes and it kind of spiral on you. And I've been down that road for sure.
Me too, man. You know, it's funny you say that about timing. We had Aaron Judge on 2 weeks ago, and I was asking him kind of the same question. He's like, hey, listen, you know, and you obviously know Judgey, he kind of likes to get ready early, kind of sits on that backside, that front leg is kind of
like. He does a great job at it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, great job. Great
yeah, job. And he just talks about.
And, like, I think on time for him and most guys, right, is like, you're at your loaded, like you're at the peak of your load, whatever that is. If you're a leg kick guy, your leg's at the peak of your load. If you're a toe tap guy, you're in your loaded position when the pitcher still has the ball, right? Like, I think that's kind of his thought process. I haven't talked to him a ton about it. I've heard him talk.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Like when the ball's in the guy's hand at foot strike, like up like this, he wants to be in his loaded position, I'm assuming. Right. Cause then you have enough time to process information, see pitches, and like,
yeah, get
the whole goal of pitching. The whole goal of pitching is to disrupt your timing. So, like, pitchers have off-speed pitches and fastballs, and you know, slide steps and holds. Like, they're all trying to just disrupt your timing, and we don't talk about that enough as hitters of like timing. Like, they're trying to disrupt our timing. So, why don't we talk about how to get on time consistently more often and like build our swing around that? And that's kind of what I'm feeling right now and kind of what I believe in as a hitter right now.
Dude, I couldn't agree more because, like, it's so true. When I look back, I'm like, you know, we have all these different coaches and stuff, and I'm like, where's the vision coach? where's the timing coach? You know what I'm just saying? Like, the vision for me, like, if I'm on time, I visually, because, you know, the ball's not, you know, everything's moving so late and with such good movement on it. If you're not visually in a good position to see the ball and hammer it, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And I remember Don Mattingly one time telling me, he'd say, Mattingly would say, when I get in trouble, you know, I try to get jammed. He goes, if I'm living too far out front and I'm kind of, my timing's off and I'm getting out there too much, sometimes I like to slow it down, let the ball travel so that I can see that it's in my body. And he's like, sometimes that clicks me back in really quick. Is there anything you do as far as that too? Like when you're struggling or you're going through a period where, man, I don't have things going. Is there something that helps you get it back quicker?
Sometimes, I mean, it's different every time. Like, you know, sometimes whatever you're feeling is weird. I mean, for me, sometimes like I'll kind of lose like where I'm at. Like I'll start setting up like real close sometimes. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, you feel like you're like dead on with the guy, and then you like look at the video and you're like, what are we doing? And then that's kind of part of it. And then you kind of just have to, I think in hitting, you get like false feels and stuff all the time, right? Like little changes feel major, and like you could swear that you're doing something, and then you watch it back and you're like, no way. Or you'd be like, this is a little change. Like I'm gonna move my hands up like 3 inches and it feels like you're holding them over your head. And
when you're struggling, do you go back and look at tape and when you were good more than when you're struggling, or do you try to like mix and match
your? Yeah, I mean, I believe in the positive reinforcement of like,
me too.
It's crazy if you watch some of like your good swings, or like guys call it, you know, your dig me tape or whatever it is, like it, a lot of it's mental, man. Like so much of hitting is confidence and just mentally being present and believing you can do it, you know. Like,
so true.
It's half the battle. I mean, it's more than half the battle, really. But so I like to do that, because by the time you're done with that, you've kind of reconvinced yourself that okay, I've got it. Like it'll be fine. And that's really a baseball season of like, you know, you could just get beat up all night in the box and have a horrible night, and you go home and you think about it, and then you know, by the time you show up to the field the next day before you go in the cage, you're like, I've got it. I got it. And then you can go in the cage, take that first swing, and it's mangled again. You're like, man, that's such a big part of like being a major league hitter, is like always convincing yourself that like success is on the horizon. You can cuss yourself out, tell yourself you're terrible, that was the worst game I've ever seen in my life. And then by the time you come back to the field though the next day, you've usually convinced yourself that like success is right around the corner.
I'm the best hitter in baseball.
Yeah, like I can. Yeah, it's gonna be fine. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But then if that doesn't happen, then it kind of repeat process.
Yeah, next day. Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Next so day. Good.
It's just part of it. You do that for so long, 6 months, and then take a break, and then do it again.
I know. Believe me, sometimes it feels like insanity. I know what you're saying. It's incredible. Dude, I've heard you talk about it, but I want to talk to you about it, because I tell you the truth, I'm kind of fascinated. I was fascinated by the conversation. You had talked about Bonds, you know, being your hitting coach. I can only imagine. Like, I played with Ken Griffey Jr. for 6 years, and I always asked Griff, hey, Griff, what do you, you know, he'd have the perfect stretch, you know, rotation. I'm like, man, how you doing that load? You know, you get that great, you know, your foot down and stuff. And he would go, just trying to get that head out, Case, just trying to get the head out. And I'm like, wow. I was like, that's what you're thinking? I was like, I, you know, that's incredible that you could think that way. You talked about Bonds one time with the Barry Bonds drill about, you know, he was like, come into the cages. And can you talk about that one thing, the Barry Bonds drill, and what it, how it helped you, or, and what it was?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, like if you're talking about guys like Barry and Griffey and like all those guys, like they're just different than the rest of us, you know? So like, you don't really ever want to like comp yourself or think if you do this drill, I'm going to be this person, like, you know, because there's so much like God given abilities and like the way they move and like how the game comes to them. It's just like, it's a gift. Right. So you can't do these things and then like expect that you're going to be them. Right. But what Barry did for me was really kind of just help me like understand like how your body moves a little bit and thought processes to like achieve a certain outcome, which is really his drill, which was, you know, hit the ball off the front of the plate and then like gradually bring it out, which it's basically just a swing path drill, you know? Right. And for me, it worked for me, like with my path and my thoughts at the time. Like sometimes, you know, you have to, I think, swing down. We're not really ever swinging down technically.
Right.
To me, all swing down really means is like you're kind of slotting. Like it's a direct slot, like gets you on plane with the ball. Right. And some guys achieve that with that thought. Other guys achieve that with a different thought. Like some guys have to think swing up to get like on plane with the ball. Some have to swing down. Barry obviously thought swing down, and it really was because his barrel and his path were just like in the zone forever, and it was so lightning quick, right? And so that would help him kind of. It helps you. It helped like with the path and not having your front hip leak, because a lot of times as like a young hitter, you want to hit a homer to the pull side. Like the first thing that goes is your hip.
Right.
But really to like accomplish hitting a backspun baseball to the pull side, it's like, you don't really want to do that, you know? So he would help. He kind of helped me early in my career of like, okay, these things kind of happen. When that result, you know, this happens in your swing when you're trying to kind of achieve that result. And it was more of a feel drill to be able to feel that and understand like your path and what you're trying to accomplish. And it took me a while to really understand it. Like it wasn't something that like came to me right away, but then after I was doing it, I could kind of see the ball flight in the cage and then to batting practice. And then I would take some of those thoughts and those feels in the game and started seeing better results as far as ball flight and hitting for more power, and kind of synced up like those thoughts and feels with good timing. And then, you know, some special stuff happened, and then you kind of just are always tinkering, and you're tinkering with your thoughts and your processes and all that. And, you know, for me, like one of my big things now is like timing, like we spoke on earlier, but that drill was pretty cool just to kind of see like, you know, everyone thinks swing down. So they think that you're talking about like swing down with your bat. And it's like, well, if you have that thought process for certain guys, like the swing down kind of just slots you in.
It does. You know? It's feel versus real.
Right. And that's what I was talking about earlier with like the false feels and stuff like that. Like you think you're doing something, but you're really not. But that's a way for you to get your body to move correctly.
Exactly.
And like, it might not work for some guys. It might not work for some guys, but it worked for me. And you know, and obviously it worked pretty good for Barry.
Yeah,
you think? Quite a few times. Did he ever
take
into the ocean? So.
Yeah, dude. Did he ever take BP with you guys?
Yeah, he would demonstrate the drills, and he would swing in the cage, and he always had a bat with him, and he did on the field sometimes. But a lot of times, like even this, like he would demonstrate it, you know, because like, what are you talking about? Like, hit it off the plate, and like you think you're hitting it off the thing. Then he would go in and kind of show you. But the cool thing about watching Barry work was like how like easy it looked. Like, you know, baseball's, you know, when you play baseball and try to hit the major league level, it's
so extreme, hard.
It's an extremely challenging thing so to do, hard. Right? But then you watch somebody like Barry do it, and like how simple he is in everything. Like his loading mechanism, how he's on time, like, and how he's able to just get the bat through the zone like correctly all the time. It made it look so easy. You know, I wish I could just do that.
I know. I'm like, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. God. Hey, Chinch.
Yeah.
You had a good question for Yelly. Because I want to go there for a second.
Yeah, okay. It's like it's a two-parter. I'm sticking with the Marlins, dude, because, again, I was back at MLB Network back in the day, and we were all like, hey, there's a dude who's 22, there's another dude who's 23, and there's another dude who's 24 who are playing outfield for the Marlins, and it was you, Ozuna, and Stanton. And we were all like, this might be the building, if they could ever keep this together, is like maybe the greatest outfield of all time. Like back then, did you realize like the group of talent that you guys had together? Like, did you appreciate it enough? And then the follow-up is the next year, one of the greatest outfielders of all time, Ichiro, is like your fourth outfielder. So like, can you talk about playing with those guys in the outfield every day, all young kids, like, holy shit, we made it to the major leagues. And then the next year, you have one of the most dynamic players and personalities in the history of the game.
Yeah, no, it was pretty special for sure. I mean, like you said, we were all really young. So, like, you're young and dumb sometimes, and you don't always, like, realize, like, what's going on around you. But, you know, Stanton, special, Ozuna, me and Ozuna played together at every level in the minors. So, we're pretty familiar with each other, and then obviously played together with G for a while in Miami there, too. And I remember one year, I think, like you said, it was before Ichiro, we were kind of like looked at that, like the production from the outfield, and we're like, that was pretty cool. Like, that was pretty special. And then you bring in a guy like Ichiro, and like, you know Ichiro is going to be first ballot Hall of Famer and somebody watched him get 3,000 hits and a living legend. And I mean, I grew up watching him play. So you add him to the mix and we had a lot of talent there. You know, we were never able to like put it all together at the same time, but we had a lot of talented guys, a lot of guys who were young early in their careers, kind of still trying to learn themselves and how to contribute like consistently in the big leagues. And myself included in that group, but yeah, we had Giancarlo, Ozuna, myself, Real Muto. Like we
oh,
had
that's some, right. We had Real Muto pretty, was there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had some pretty talented players there and guys that were learning the big league level altogether. And, you know, it flies under the radar sometimes when you play in Miami, but you kind of looked around and saw guys were talented. You know, I think, I don't know if we all kind of thought we'd play for like super long time.
Yeah, be MVPs. Like, you guys kinda, all were two MVPs, dude.
Pretty yeah. And then, yeah, Ichiro, they already had one at the
That's
time.
That's right. Ichiro already had one.
Yeah, he already had one at the time. And you just don't know. You know, you're just kind of trying, you're just living in the day to day and being like, you know, you're just trying to learn and take in as much information as you can, especially when you're that young in the big leagues. And for me, like, that was the fortunate thing about playing in Miami is like, you got to the big leagues at such a young age and we're kind of able to learn on the job a little bit. And go through like those ups and downs and learn yourself as a player. Ended up being better for it and getting some experience. And, you know, there's something too, just being able to rep it out and just get the time. I think a lot of times like people want the instant gratification from like their young players and their prospects, and they discredit how challenging the major leagues can be sometimes for these young players. And everybody kind of clicks for them at a different time. Sometimes it happens right away for guys, and other times it takes a few years.
So true. In 2017, you got a chance to play in that WBC. And I know yeah. Jim Leland. I mean, I played for Leland 2 years in Detroit.
He was awesome.
The best, right? The best. So, dude, so tell me about Leland a little bit, and also tell me about that team, man, because that was fun for anyone that's a baseball fan to watch that team, that WBC year was incredible. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, amazing experience. First of all, I don't think like I knew I wanted to do it. Like I was. I remember. I think Joe Torre was putting the team together, and, yep. and Mattingly was the manager in Miami at the time. I remember telling him, like, dude, like if you can just tell Joe, like, I don't know if I'm going to make the team or they even want me on it, but just like tell him, like, I want to do this if it's possible. The off season before that. And, you know, it ended up working out where they called me and were like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to do it. And
yeah.
I didn't really know what I was getting into, though. I was like, you know, yeah, Team USA. Like, I'd never made a Team USA before that. I never made it in high school or anything. Like, I got cut every time. And so that was my first time playing for Team USA ever in my life. So I didn't know if I got cut from every. I never made an All-American game. I never made a Team USA.
You had to wait. You had to wait till you got to the big leagues. You had to wait till you got to the big leagues to finally make one.
Yeah, everyone was like the 1400, 1600, 1800, right? And I never made any of those, which, you know, it's fine. But I didn't know what I was getting into at the time. You know, like you think it's gonna be pretty intense, you know, and you're playing and it's in spring training though, so you're like, all right, like we'll see. And, I think when you showed up to the practice, the first practice you showed up to, and you kind of like look around the locker room, like, these are some of like the best players in baseball. And like, then there's me, you know, I was like 24 or 25. I was like 24, 25 years old, only had a couple years in the big leagues. Like, hadn't really done a whole lot at the time. Like, I was a decent player, but I hadn't, you know, hadn't made an all-star team or done anything like that. And, you know, you got Buster Posey and Goldie and like all these guys and on the team, you know, Nolan Arenado, but I knew Nolan a little bit from high school. We played together on some travel ball stuff in high school. So I knew Nolan a little, but I was like, man, like, you know, these guys are all pretty good players. And then we kicked off that first game against Columbia in Miami, and I was like, holy shit, like this is pretty intense, you know? And then we played the next day against the Dominican in Miami. I remember being like pretty nervous out there because I'd never played in a playoff game or anything like that before. Like, I was, you know, back in the day with the Marlins, like we didn't make the playoffs or anything. So that was my first like real taste of something like that. And I was like, damn, this is pretty cool. I didn't start the first night. Quintana was pitching for Columbia, so I came off the bench later in the game. got thrown into defense like in the eighth inning, ninth inning, like a tie game. And I was like, oh my God,
don't hit it to
me. Of course, the first two balls come, you know, like top spin liner right off the left field. And then,
Jesus.
Like sky fly ball, like your heart's about to beat through your chest. And I was like, all right, like here we go. And then the next day we played the Dominican. And speaking of Leland, he was like, you know, I didn't start the night before, so I knew, and then I knew I was going to play the next day, and he put me in the three hole.
He had me hit third.
And I was like looking around the locker room, like, out of all these guys, like, you want me to hit third? And like, you know, he's like, yeah, man, go check the lineup, you're hitting third. I was like, all right, whatever. I didn't know any better and just, you know, went out there and played, but just remember like the intensity of those games and like the playoff like atmosphere, and it was crazy, man. Especially that game in Miami, and then we played in San Diego, which was awesome, and then played against Japan and Puerto Rico again in LA for the championship. But it was awesome, just because in the All-Star game, like you're with guys for like 2 days, you know. But it's so crazy how like you got the home run derby day, and then the All-Star game, like. You're on the go, so you don't really get a chance to, like, interact with guys a ton. But the cool thing I thought about the WBC was, like, you were teammates for, like, 2 weeks. So you're on planes together. You're going to dinners together. You're hanging out at practice together like your teammates. Like, you'd be playing on a major league team, like, during the season. And to me, that was the coolest thing because you could, like, talk baseball with guys and learn, like, some of the best guys in the game, like, their process and, like, what they're thinking. And then you're competing with them against basically – you're playing against all-star teams from other countries, you know.
Right.
And that's kind of what it is. It's, like, it's an all-star game against other countries in spring training with sold-out crowds. And it's only becoming, like, more popular, which is awesome and, like –
What about the catch? Where were you? Where? What was your?
I got a good story about the catch, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
This is a good story about the catch. So obviously, everyone's seen Adam Jones rob the homer and everything like that, which was unbelievable play. You know, like off the bat, you thought the ball was way gone, and you know that the heavy San Diego night air, you know, it kind of kept it from being gone forever. And so he makes this unbelievable play, like leaps into the crowd, like the stadium goes nuts, right? Everyone goes nuts, like chanting USA. I think the next pitch was hit to me in left field, and it like landed in the first row, and I probably could have robbed it too, and I ran square into the wall. Like I hit the wall, like square into the wall. And if I just like found myself with the how you're supposed to in the outfield and just jump. Like I probably could have robbed a homer too. And that stadium probably would have fell down. It would have been so loud, back to back robbed homer. So I actually might've like robbed us with some really good WBC history there. And I think there was a pitching change like right after it. I think it was Adam Jones and McCutcheon in the outfield. And we were all kind of talking together. And I was like, man, you guys are way better athletes than me. Cause I just ran square in the wall. Could have made a sweet play. When me and Kutch played together a couple of years ago in Milwaukee, like we still talked about it and we're laughing about it because I was like, man, a lot of people probably forget that. But if you go back and like watch that full game, like you'll see him rob the catch and then Cano hits one to me. And I kind of get turned around out there and just bam, like right to the wall.
That is so
great.
Thinking,
like, man,
could have been the best back to back robberies ever, but it would. What could have been, right?
Probably. I mean, there's probably never – I don't think there's ever been a time – there can't be too many times in baseball where there's been back-to-back Rob homers, right?
Yeah, in that situation, too.
Maybe never happened.
That's never happened.
And it's WBC, huge situation. Right. Yeah, I just ran right into the wall. We ended up winning the game, but it was all good, so I felt less bad about it. But I was like, clean it up.
Oh, it's so good, dude. So good. What about you guys this season, man? You know, obviously you had 92 wins last year. Great season. Council goes to Chicago. Obviously, Pat Murphy slides right in. I love Murph. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you seeing at spring training? You got a ton of good young kids. Jackson Chirillo is an absolute stud. I saw Frelick last year when we played you when I was with the Yankees. He looks like a stud. You know, what do you think of the young kids and, you know, just – you guys, the Milwaukee Brewers, coming into 2024.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different looking team than the kind of core that we've had here over the last 5-6 years, and you know, all the success that we've kind of had, the regular season success that we've had. We've had some pretty good teams and been in the playoffs a bunch. And, you know, some of the best players to have played for the Brewers have come along in the last 5-6 years here, and really some of the best players in baseball when you're talking about a Corbin Burns, a Woodruff, a Peralta, Devin Williams, Josh Hader, you know, like it all kind of lined up. And it's been a good little run for sure. But we're a younger team this year, but we got a lot of talented young players, like you said. We're going to rely on them a lot this year, but they've all made a lot of good strides, took what they've learned last year from their first kind of crack and taste of the big leagues, made some adjustments, and some guys that haven't really made it to the big leagues yet, but are knocking on the door. And I'm sure we'll see them soon, whether that's opening day or shortly after, like a Chorio, a Tyler Black, some of these pitching guys, you know, Gasser, Mizorowski, Hall, DL Hall, the guy that was.
Yeah, how does he look? Have you seen him at all?
I faced him in the sim game today. It's a pretty special heater. Man. It comes out hot for sure.
Does it?
He was warming up, and it looks different, like coming out of his hand. I was like, we're gonna get in the box here and see what this feels like at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Right,
let's do it. And you know, he blew my doors pretty good at 11 a.m. this morning. But you know,
You're barely awake.
Yeah, you know, we got broken bat hit right after that.
But, did you?
He blew it up. But yeah, just some really good young players, man. And I think, you know, before those guys became who they were, you know, the Haters, the, you know, Woody, Corbin, like they're seen these same talented young players and kind of came into their own, learned themselves, and really see a lot of similarities with it. I think we have a chance to be competitive for sure. I know we're more on the underdog side this year than maybe we have been in the past, but you know, all that stuff's fine in spring training. Like, if you're the underdog or the favorite, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Like, you still have to play the seed. So much can happen in 6 months. So, really, it's about helping these young guys navigate the big leagues for their first or second time and make improvements.
What's your biggest advice to some of these young kids? You know, because you were that young kid too, on with some veteran guys out there. Like, what's some advice that you pass down to these guys?
Yeah, well, it's be you, right? Like, be what got you here. You got here for a reason. So be that. Like, don't try and do more or be more than, you know, who you are as a player. Like, you'll gradually keep improving and getting better if you just be yourself and understand. Like, you don't want to get to the big leagues one day and then as soon as you get there, try and, like, reinvent yourself as a player and do more, because then it's counterproductive. And also is like, keep trying to improve. Like, take what you learn here, like take what you learn in the day to day and learn from that, make adjustments off that, understand what that means, and like keep trying to get better every day, but really year to year of like, okay, what did this year teach me? And then go in the off season and work on that. And like, that's going to be you for whether you play 1 year or 10 years, like you're still always trying to get better and improve yourself as a player and make adjustments. And that's really what I tell guys, is be yourself first and then learn and watch and make adjustments and understand like what's happening up there, what's happening to you. And if you do that, you'll be in good shape, because so much of the big leagues is just adjusting. And if you can adjust, you can survive and you can stay. And if you can't, then it kind of weeds you out a little bit, and it becomes tough, because, you know, that's the name of the game. There's entire departments trying to, you
know, figure it out.
Yeah, and it's the best players in the world. So, yep. Like, there's a certain intensity that comes with being a major league player. Like, you can't just, like, roll the bats and balls out there. Like, there's a preparation. There's a process. Like, it's being a pro. And, like, you have to do that at the major league level, like, no matter how talented you are, because there's always somebody just as good as you in the big leagues. Like, it's unbelievable. You know, I was talking to Woody today after the game, you know, because we were talking about something.
Yeah.
And – I was like, you know, man, if you think about it, like, you kind of lose perspective on it sometimes. But if you look around the locker room, like, we're really just like, there's a collection of freaks in here. And like, you're around guys every day, so you don't really realize it. But, you know, that's really what it is. And super talented people and players. And You know, it's a super competitive environment. So to be able to do that, you have to continually try to improve.
So good. Hey, man, it's the toughest skill in the world. It's the toughest thing to do. How many times do you see the LeBron James and all these the greatest athletes in the world come take BP early and you're like, they can't even hit the ball. You know what I mean? So like it's one of the toughest things to do is to hit a baseball. You know, it's incredible. Yeah. But Yelly, man, I just want to tell you, man, thanks a lot for taking your time, dude. I know spring training is, you know, kind of go. And you know, we appreciate your time. And, dude, looking forward to you having a monster year this year and the Brewers, and we'll see what happens. But have a great rest of the spring training, brother, and we appreciate coming in the mayor's office for a little bit with us.
You got it. I appreciate you guys having me, man. It was a good time.
All right. Thanks, Yelly.
All right. You got it. Take care.
Thank you, man.